Find a seat, mosey on down. Don't get too out of hand, just shake one or two. I mean, I know I always open this up and regret it. I threw a curveball doing the welcoming now, so it just automatically go to offering. Sorry about that. That's my mistake. Yeah. As we open tonight, want to open with any prayer requests that we can have and take those right to the Lord. Do want to have special prayer, continued prayer. Sister Julie will be going home tomorrow, so we want to pray that as she makes this transition back, you know, we won't have any hard feelings that she's leaving us so soon, but we know home is still home. So we want to pray, continue to pray for her and pray for the family as we begin to transition back. Sister Christy. He actually, speaking on that, I meant to say something. Thank you. He went in Monday night, and they were just, he was having some minor complications. Tuesday they went in, they were going to do a stent, and whenever they did the stent, they knocked some plaque loose, and so it kind of became a fairly routine, anytime it's your heart, it's not that routine, but today to a that bypass surgery that they were going to have, and I spoke with a member of their staff today, and he was finishing work and leaving early, heading over to the hospital. Haven't heard anything since then. He said it was this afternoon. I'm not entirely sure what time, but we want to lift the Coulthard family in our prayer. Okay, perfect. Thank you for letting us know. So keep this week, if I hear anything, I'll send out a message, but just continue to keep the Coulthards in our prayers. Amen. Amen. Any other needs that any other needs? Sorry.
I have a friend from high school that just had his third brain surgery and is now just really declining. They're not giving them a lot of hope that basically this will probably, he has a tumor and it's just pretty much going to take him eventually is what they're telling his wife, and she was posting about it, and I just messaged her on Facebook and said that I would request prayer. I know he was not with our denomination, but he was a faith-believing, you know, God-believing person. So I know that through their story they've shared, I know God can heal, I know God can heal. And so I said we just join with them in faith that there would be complete healing for them and peace for the family and strength during this time.
Amen.
His name is Jared.
And I know that we had requested prayer, or Sister Dee had requested prayer for Dwayne Lewis, and he had passed away. They did have the funeral today, so we want to lift up his family. He leaves behind a wife and a small daughter, so they just need God. So lift up the Lewis family tonight in our prayers, Brother Al. We want to continue to pray for Sister Carrie. It looks like we're still figuring some stuff out, but it looks like within the next week or two, potentially the kidney transplant. And so keep Carrie and her family in our prayers. It's a big thing, and we want to support her and support her family during this time. Any other needs? Sister Kellum. Why don't we just take the hand, if it's appropriate, of the person next to us, and let's just lift up all these needs together in prayer. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, there are a lot of needs that we are presenting to you tonight. I pray, God, that you would touch each and every request. God, you'd work. God, you'd encourage, God, where there's loss. With the Atkins family, with the Lewis family, God, be a comforter. Lift them up right now, I pray. God, send your ministering angels there to them, to those families. Work in that need. Touch Brother Colthart facing surgery. God, touch Brother Al's friend who needs lung cancer and needs to have surgery there. God, we just need you to work in these doctors' work and the hospitals. Touch every need. Touch Teresa. God, I pray that salvation would go forward. God, we want healing, God, but above all else, we want to see salvation. God, touch Jessica in her hand. You know that need. God, you know the tendons. You know the nerves. You know the pain that she's experiencing. I pray relief for her right now. God, touch Sister Robin's sister. God, you are an emotional healer. You are a physical healer. God, you can provide. You can work. God, touch Sister Christie's job situation. Any other job situation that's presented here, you are a God that's able to reach and touch and move, and I pray that you would do that right now. Be with Sister Carrie. Be with her mother. God, we'll give you all the glory when you work in that situation, and we praise you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's worship him tonight.
Your people, so we lift our hands. I deal with work throughout the week and bills that I'm looking at coming in the mail, but just to linger in his presence for a moment, there is nothing like it. I just want to stay here. Lord, we thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, there is nothing like you. You're a God like no other, Lord. You are so precious to us, Lord. Hallelujah. If we could just take a moment and just feel after him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just a couple announcements. This Sunday morning at our main service, Pastor Johnson is going to launch the vision service for 2020. And later on that evening, we're going to have prayer at 6 o'clock. We invite everybody to come for that. We're going to have an usher in the back. Let's pray for this offering and for what God is going to do here tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for you are here, and you have a purpose and a plan for every one of us, Lord. You're here to meet with us, Lord. You're here to meet every need, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing and how you've met, Lord, us here right now, Lord. We anticipate, Lord, that you're going to do great things here tonight in this place, Lord. I pray that you bless this offering, every faithful, cheerful giver, the ones given by faith, in Jesus' name, and your word is going to go forth in your name. Amen.
Wonders of my team.
Come on, let's lift him up all over this place. Come on, give a shout unto the Lord. He's worthy of the praise. He's worthy of the glory. Amen. In this atmosphere, I believe anything can happen. Even on a Wednesday night, even on just what we would call an off night, on what the world would call an off night, God can still work. God can still move. So in light of that, we want to move into a time of prayer for our lost loved ones. I don't need to say anything other than that. You know who they are. You know who they, what they represent to you in your life. So let's just continue in that vein of prayer, and let's lift up the names of these lost loved ones. God, Lord, we're calling upon you again. We are here. We will be consistent because we know you are a consistent God. We know that you are a faithful God. And so we're asking for you to work. We're asking for you to minister. We're asking for you to do something in the supernatural. God, I pray that you would reach. God, you'd work. You'd touch. Do whatever you have to do, God, to get somebody's attention, to draw them back to a place, so that they can come out of that miry clay, Lord. They can set their feet on a rock. God, you are that rock. I pray, draw them back to you. God, pull them back, whatever it takes. We've got to see our family saved. We've got to see our family saved. Do the work, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I love what we feel here tonight. Just something about just coming together. Lifting up a song. Lifting up, creating an atmosphere of praise. You came from work. You rushed home. Maybe you didn't even get something to eat. You threw on clothes, or you wore what you had on. You know, it's just kind of run together. But you get to a place, and I know that this church doesn't. It's just a building. It's a beautiful building, but it's just a building. But you get together with the body of Christ, and you begin to call upon the name of the Lord, and God shows up. Amen. Amen. Thankful for that tonight. Thankful for that. Love what I feel. Amen. If our youth can be dismissed tonight, I do want to say a special welcome to someone that snuck in the back door. It's good to see Taryn here tonight. Taryn is a good friend, a former youth girl, former young adult girl from our home church in Addison. And she, if you make her laugh, she will have the loudest snort giggle. And I'm going to embarrass her just because I didn't get the chance to embarrass you a lot when I had the microphone, Taryn. So here I can embarrass you, but it's really good to see Taryn. And I've met, yell out your name. We're friends here. Aaron, I knew that. I just didn't want to call you Adam and then you correct me later on. And it's good to see Aaron here as well. Let's welcome them tonight. We're going to turn our attention to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And actually, I'm going to allow you to be seated just because it'll be a lengthy passage. Then we'll get right into it. I appreciate you standing. But my wife finally gave me my new shoes for Christmas, so now I can stand a little bit longer. So I don't complain as much now. I'll find something else to complain about, but... The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The last verse I'll read is verse 16. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Lengthy passage that I read, but in August of 1987, there was supposed to be a world-changing event. The New Age movement had gathered together. Some of you, it was 5 months before my time, so to me, this was news. To some of you, you're like, yeah, we understand. We were there. But this world-changing event, there was going to be tremendous harmonic convergence in the planets, is what they had called it. And so a group of these New Age leaders, they came together and they said between 1987 and 1992 is going to be this harmonic convergence. And we will have the chance to communicate beyond our planets and communicate with other worlds and communicate with other beings. And so we have this opportunity. So this group of New Agers, they gathered together on Mount Shasta in California, a canyon in New Mexico, a place called Enchanted Rock in Texas, Serpent Mound in Ohio, the Great Pyramids of Gaza in Egypt, and at Glastonbury, which was the home of King Arthur in England. And according to this leadership of the New Agers, if they had 144,000 people in around these areas, and they grabbed hands at the appropriate time, and they came together, and they hummed at this perfect moment, whatever day, I'm not sure what the day was. Some of you could say, well, it was, you know, 1991. It was a Tuesday. Yeah, of course. Sister D was there. But they came together, and if they hummed correctly, and they performed this, and as we know, unless they kept it secret, didn't tell us, we did not have any extraterrestrial activity. We did not have any aliens come and visit, and it really was for nothing. And this whole story would be kind of funny, maybe a little bit humorous, but it tells us something about our people today in society today, that we are just looking to belong to something. There are, if you look just of Christianity alone in the United States, not counting all the other religions, but there is a doctor that has gone in, a doctor of theology, and he has studied Christianity in the United States. There is 1,187 different branches of Christianity within the United States alone, and falling under many different categories of Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, I mean, you name it, there are different sects of Christianity throughout, but everyone is trying to figure out a place to belong. They want to be connected, and we're very, our world is very divided. We're divided racially, economically, if you turn on any form of news, politically, socially, religiously, in every other way we could think of, there's been a divide that has been pushed out, especially, again, I don't know what happened in 1987, but speaking for 2020, it is a divided world. It is a divided country. There is a divide that has been just wedged into our society. So tonight and potentially over the next couple of weeks, I want to speak to us about the call for unity and how we need to seek unity. Jesus knew the importance of unity. Jesus talked often of unity, and he knew the effect that unity would have on eternity. And he knew it so well, and he knew it was so important to have unity. That's why one of his last prayers that's recorded in the book of John deals with this topic of unity. It says in John 17, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Are you hearing the ones, the ones, the ones? That world may know that thou hast sent me, hast loved me as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. If I were in Jesus' shoes, I mean, this is just before they go into the upper room. It's just before, he's taken. He goes through the crucifixion process. I personally would have prayed for strength. I personally would have prayed for a way out. I would be a scapegoat. I wouldn't be a good scapegoat for our sins. I would be a good scapegoat for my neck. I potentially could have prayed for, God, help what I've taught my disciples to be in them, that they can share the gospel, that they can go make disciples like I'm going to tell them to do, that they would share this gospel. But what Jesus prayed as one of his last prayers is, God, let us be in unity. Let us, as you and I are one, which is just a testimony to the oneness of God, but as you and I are one, let they also be one. Let them be perfect and one in me. And he was very aware that if the church could ever become one, if we could ever become unified together, we could not be stopped. The church, hell has no plan against a unified church. He was well aware, Jesus was well aware of the importance of what a thriving, unified church would be able to accomplish. And so Paul, in the first text, in Ephesians 4, and Jesus, in the book of John, both deal with the importance and the necessity of unity. And so how then can we as a church achieve unity? There's a couple of different ways, four different ways I want to talk to us tonight about how we can achieve unity. And it all comes from that first passage of text that Paul wrote, that Ephesians 4. And I'm going to reread some of these verses, and it's a lot of verses, so you're going to have to keep your eyes open as I read these verses. My good friend Brother Dre will have them on the screen, so you can pay attention to them there. But Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul starts this by in the NLT it says, I beg you, walk worthy of a life that God has called you to. I beseech you, walk worthy. And he's trying to get the church, trying to get us to walk worthy of what we are called to do. First off, we need to realize that what we were called to do is something that is a heavy task. It is a big task to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He could have called, I mean, there's 7.8 billion people on the planet. He could have called a lot of people. If you look at the UPC, and we are not the only Jesus name group, but looking just at the UPC, there's about 3 million, give or take a couple of 100,000 constituents in the UPC across the world. 3 million members of us out of 7 billion. I mean, it's a drop in the ocean, a drop of water in the ocean when you look at it like that. So we need to realize, and again, I'm not placating that UPC is the only group, but just looking at our group, we need to realize that if we were called, if we have any connection to Pentecost, if we have, especially beyond a name, connection to oneness, connection to truth, that this is a heavy, high calling that has been placed upon us. And we are to walk worthy of that calling. Because it's not a light thing to be called of God. I don't believe that it's an easy thing. The Bible talks explicitly that it's not an easy thing. Narrow is the way. It's not an easy thing to get into heaven. Broad is the way that which leadeth unto destruction. And there's going to be a lot more ways to not make heaven than there are ways to make heaven. I don't believe we're just going to get lucky and fall into heaven. We're not going to back into heaven. We're not going to trip into heaven. I believe that if we make heaven, it will be because we made intentional choices throughout our life. It's not going to be a mistake that we get into heaven. And so Paul tells us, walk worthy. If you were called, walk worthy of that calling. And he says, by doing that, the scripture says, we're to live with humility, with gentleness, with patience, making allowances for each other's faults. Make allowance when someone isn't perfect in your life. Make allowance when someone trips up. We are all human. We are all flesh. We are all imperfect. Make allowance when someone trips up. When your spouse makes a mistake, make allowance. Then on top of that, meekness and long-suffering, we are to endeavor to keep unity. And it's not easy to live this way all the time. It's easy to talk about. I always say a lot of the stuff I talk about, it sounds very good whenever you have a microphone. And yeah, sure, why wouldn't I do that? Meekness and long-suffering, sure, I'm sure I do that all the time. But it's much more difficult than what I just throw out there. But we are called to be in unity. We are called to endeavor to keep the unity. The second thing we can do is to focus on our common beliefs. Ephesians 4 tells us, and we know this passage well, but there is one body, one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Making it very clear what we know from the Old Testament, what we know from the writings of Jesus, what we know throughout all of the text, that there is one God. There is one body. There is one spirit. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And he's telling us, for us to have unity, we must focus on the important things. We must all come together and realize what is the main thing. There's a saying, I don't know who coined it, but I've heard it repeated often. We have to keep the main thing the main thing. That T.F. Tenney. Brother Greg, go ahead and finish. He's exactly right. T.F. Tenney is exactly right. And I'm glad it was him and not someone else that is a worldly person. I feel pretty good remembering T.F. Tenney's quote. But the greatest attack the enemy could make upon our unity would be distractions, and to get us to focus on the stuff that doesn't matter, to get us so bogged down and so overwhelmed with just the minor, I say this word all the time, I'm sorry, babe, it just fits into so many things, just the minutia of stuff. If you try it out, it just sounds good coming out of your mouth. That's my go-to word. But the enemy would love nothing more than us to get so focused on the small things and miss out on the big things. And there are certain things that matter. I'm not trying to say that we don't focus on minor things in the church. We need, not that this would be minor, but we need holiness. We need separation. We need doctrine. We need more than just one God, one Lord, one faith. We need more than that. But I'm going beyond that in talking about the minor things that don't matter. The minor things that would be a hindrance, the minor things of, oh, so-and-so wore a red dress, and it's after Labor Day, and you don't wear red after Labor Day, or whatever the rule is. I don't know, clearly. It's white, sure. You want to finish? We aren't going to back down on the important things, but we need as a church to let go of the unimportant things. I was having a conversation just a couple of weeks ago with a pastor, and he was saying, and I won't give his name, and I won't condone this, and he didn't condone it for himself. He said it was probably the wrong response, but he said that he had a former pastor who was still a licensed minister that had been coming to their church. He had stepped down from his church and had been a faithful member for about a year, and this pastor came to him, or over the phone, called him and said, listen, I don't know if you know this, but I have an issue with so-and-so because this person is doing such-and-such. And it wasn't like this person's out murdering or this person's out robbing banks. It was something that was just a very minor thing that wasn't doctrinal, wasn't scriptural. It was just a personal preference. But this guy had such an issue with it. And he came to the pastor and basically said, what are you going to do about it? And this pastor said, and again, he didn't condone this, but he He said, he just caught me on the wrong day. And he turned to him and he said, well, you've not given tithes since you've been here. And how are you going to come at me and talk about this when you have? And he immediately said, you know, it was the wrong response. I didn't handle that right. But, and I'm not at all attacking anything. I'm just saying that we need to focus upon ourselves. We need to worry about what our salvation. We need to work that out. Don't worry about your neighbor, your brother, your sister. I mean, encourage them, but I mean, and if something's going wrong, you know, reach out to them. But this, worried about the details, worried about the little things and how it'll affect them, because then this guy's response was, well, I couldn't give because I was so worried about that person. Which, if you can't fulfill your responsibility because of somebody else, then that's between you and the Lord. But we just can't get so focused on just the small things. We got to keep the main thing, the main thing. Any distraction, anything that pops up, any deterrent with your walk with the Lord is just going to drive disunity into the church, especially if it's connected to somebody else in the church. Don't slink into gossip. Don't slink into you know, that there's some issue that nobody knows about and I got to be the one to complain about it. There's enough people to complain. You don't have to be that person. I'll let you off the hook with that. So the third way that unity comes is when we use the gifts that God has given us. The passage, and I won't read it, but it's Ephesians 4, verse 7 through 12 that we just read, and he talks about every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And he goes into the fivefold ministry. And we know that there are spiritual gifts. There are nine listed in 1 Corinthians 12. And I'll just read the nine quickly. The gift of the word of wisdom, of word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the gift of faith, of healings, of working of miracles, of prophecy, of diverse kinds of tongues, and of interpretation of tongues. And we know that the purpose of spiritual gifting is not just so you can show off. You know, if you got the gift of healing, it's not so you can say, everybody, watch this. Watch this. I'm going to heal this guy. You know, or you know, in a service, whenever the moment hits and there's tongues and interpretation, you get to be the one and you get to talk about how God used you. That is not how spiritual gifts work. Spiritual gifts were meant to equip God's people and to edify the church. That's why he gave us spiritual gifts. And I believe what Paul is trying to tell us, that it is a sign of unity when the spiritual gifts are in work in a church. When we begin to see, hear from the voice of God through interpretation, see miracles done. That is a sign that a church is in unity, and we've experienced that, but I want more of that. It should be a regular occurrence that we experience the gifts of the Spirit in action in our church. I believe it's God's will for us to receive that, for us to experience that in our church. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. I like, again, throughout unity, throughout talking about unity, Paul or Jesus, whoever is writing in the book, refers back to an image of one God. It says the same Spirit, it is the same Lord, it is the same God. We serve one God. We serve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus are all one. And so when Jesus Christ, when he left earth and he took his physical presence, he was crucified, he was resurrected, he was with us for a moment, and then when he returned to heaven and he took his physical presence from earth, it wasn't so the spiritual manifestation and the spiritual gifts would cease then. Up until that point, it had only happened through Jesus. We had only seen stuff accomplished through his Spirit. But once he left his Spirit for us, and that's so he did so those manifestations could continue through us. He purposely did it so that way we would have the ability, we would have the tools to work in spiritual giftings. And I believe it's God's will for us to continue in that. It's God's will for us to deepen our experience with him and to see more gifts and work in our church. Too often, I think we get excited, and it's a good thing, we should be excited, but maybe, at least my experience, the most common gift of the Spirit that you see is tongues and interpretation. You see that happen, and it's a powerful thing when it does, but I think we get content with seeing, oh, God spoke to us tonight, that was awesome, and God used so-and-so, that was awesome. That's great, but the Scripture talks about, I just read it in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have a gift. God has given you a spiritual gift, and you need to use that. Whatever that looks like, I don't know what your gift is. That's between you and God, but God has given us a spiritual gift, and he desires it to be used in the kingdom. So if you find yourself not in action with that gifting, get deeper with the Lord. Ask the Lord to reveal it. Ask God to use you in that, and I believe God will do that. God wants to do that. The fourth way that unity will come in the church is when we decide to no longer be like children. Ephesians 4, verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, it maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What he said here is that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sight of men in cunning craftiness, whereby they lay wait and deceive. And there are a lot of good things about children. You know, children can be a blessing. They're a blessing in my life. My nieces have been a blessing in my life. But if we were all a bunch of children, we would be a pretty scattered service right now. You'd think I get scattered talking to you. Imagine if I was a child, a six-year-old boy. Six-year-old Titus, whew. God answers prayers. Prayers of a mother. But if we remain children, if we didn't grow up, you know, then we'd never mature. We'd stay children. We'd stay dependent upon others. We'd stay needy. But Paul's desire, or God's desire through Paul, is that we would mature and we'd move beyond being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I have an uncle who isn't living for the Lord, grew up in church, and when he was a teenager or early 20s, walked away from the Lord and has been away from the Lord the rest of his life. But anytime we'd go down and see him in Atlanta, he would always, my dad's a pastor, he'd always want to talk to my dad about the new doctrine that he'd heard about. And I remember clearly walking through a bookstore and he's pulling the Joel Osteen book. And have you heard of this guy? Well, I mean, everyone's heard of that guy. And I watch his sermons every Sunday. And then the next time we're down a year or two later, he's on with this guy. And have you heard of this guy? Oh, this guy's got some true teaching. And he blows Joel Osteen out of the water. And, you know, just every year, it was almost a tradition. You sit around the Christmas table that he was going to bring up some newfound new book that he had read, or probably new book cover that he had seen. Just knowing my uncle and knowing how wishy-washy he was. And we probably all know people like that, or maybe even related to people like that. But Paul is telling us, you've got to grow up. You've got to mature. You've got to get to a place, like he said, you know, walk with the vocation of which you were called. Walk to this high calling. Walk worthy of this high calling. You've got to grow up in Christ. And he gives us four ways to do that in that text. The first way is to hold on to the truth in love. Hold on to the, if you want to grow up, if you want to be a mature Christian, if you want to be in unity with the Lord, buy the truth and sell it not. I mean, hold on to the truth. We are blessed beyond measure to have leadership, to have not just the Bible. We are blessed to have the Bible, but we are a part of an organization that has quality biblical material. I am reading a book right now just called Doctrines, and it is put out by the UPC. Brother Bernard wrote it, and he had other authors that joined in on it. And it is, they're not just guys that have pastored and preached their whole life, or, you know, preachers. These guys have their doctorates in theology. They are well-studied. They are well-versed. And we are blessed as an organization, as a movement, to have men and women of God who know what they're talking about, who have truth. And we need to, continue to seek that truth. We can't be satisfied. Don't take it at face value. Don't just come and listen to Titus. If all you're getting is Titus, oh, Lord, help you. You got the word. You have resources. Dig it out for yourself. I will do my best to give what the Lord is saying, but it's better that you get into the word and you hear what God is telling you, and you spend time with him, and you discover what the truth is. The second way we can become, we can grow up, is to become more like Christ. Isn't that the goal? Isn't that the dream? Isn't that what we need to do and want to do every single day? The third thing he refers to, it says, do your own special work. I believe God has called us to do a special work. I talk about it often, but I can't go to your job. I can't sit around your Christmas table at dinner. I can't. My wife can't. You know, only you. You are called to be a disciple. You are called to be a missionary to your harvest field, to your world, that only you reach and only you interact with. And each one of us have a special work. And if we would just make up in our mind that this is my harvest field, I don't have to go to Africa. I don't have to go to Asia, you know, to be a missionary. I am a missionary in Sandwich, Illinois, in Salmonok, Illinois, in Plano, Illinois. God will use you. The fourth way to grow up is to help the other parts grow with you. And I don't know of the four if Paul would list any level of importance, which one's more important, but in my opinion, when going through this, I think it's important, this may be the most important, to see other pieces of the church, other people in the church, to grow with us. I'm not trying to get to step number three on my own. The last thing I want to do is grow and look down and see everyone. No one has grown with me. I want to get together in unity and say, okay, we're going to another level. Where it may take us a while. It's much easier for me to walk up on my own. It's a lot harder if all of us are linked arms to time it correctly and get up the step. And I understand it takes more work. But what an impact when all of us grow together. It's worth the work. It's worth the effort. And it's important that we as a church grow together. It's important. It's such an exciting thing to see people grow. To see, I didn't know Brother Jim, who's been coming before. I know that some of you may have connections to him when he used to come, but just to see him this past Sunday, just if you got a chance to be around him and pray with him, or just turned and saw, I mean, the presence of God was all over him. And I mean, just to see how encouraging that was to see him surrender a little bit. I mean, it's a start. It's something that God is doing. It's a work. And it's so exciting to see people take steps in growth. And we should be pushing ourselves and each other to grow. My wife and I were blessed to be a youth pastor for 4.5 years or so, 3.5, and then young adult, a number of years. Taryn could probably answer that question a little bit better. But it was such a cool thing as a youth pastor to get to work specifically with youth, because in a 2-year time period, you know, when you're 47, the age between 47 and 49, not a lot changes. Changes happen, of course, but not as much of a change from when you're 14 to 16 or 16 to 18. And it was really cool for my wife and I to get to see such growth. Not just physical growth, but to see a spiritual growth, and to see young people take steps and move into the calling that they have place. And it was exciting to be involved in that. And although 47 and 49 may not have the same physical growth that can be experienced as a teenager, you can still have the same spiritual growth. You can still get to a place. You could be going from 67 to 69 or 79 to 81 or whatever age. Your spiritual growth is not limited by an age. You can grow as quickly as you want to grow if you would just commit to that. We have to be a church that comes alongside each other and helps each other grow, builds people up, pulls them up with you, doesn't drag people down. Sister Christy doing the bread program, it'd be easy to just say, well, it's just a muffin. It's a whoop-de-doo. I can get my own muffin. I don't even like poppy seed muffins or whatever. I'm teasing. I only do blueberry muffins. But it would be easy to say it's minor. It's just a muffin. You know, I'm so busy. I don't have the time. That's good for them that they can read, but I just don't have the time, or I got other stuff going on, and that's all well and good. But having a program like this, where we do take the time once a month or once every other month, depending on me, to recognize people. And I want to, Sister Christy and I have talked on Sunday, we want to continue this and put more effort and emphasis into this, because I think it's important that we pause and we say, hey, as a church, here's what we're doing. You can get on board with us. So if you didn't read the first 2 months, join in March. There's no shame, there's no embarrassment. Just come with us. Just get on board. We're going deeper. We're going deeper. There's no embarrassment. If you missed a month, that's not what this is about. This isn't to call anybody out. This is to draw attention to the people in the church that want to go more, and we want everybody to be on board. I would rather Sister Christie's up until 3 a.m. in the morning baking muffins on Saturday night because she's got so many to make than not. But I want us to grow. I think it's important for the church to grow. I think it's important. And once we begin to grow, once we begin to encourage each other, that always brings unity. That always, if you've ever been on a team, you'll see little snippets of videos of a football team in the locker room, and a guy's going for a personal best, and he's on the squat rack, and he's got 6,000 pounds, and you just see the team is all around him, and he's going, and blood's rushing, and he's got vessels, but he gets it up, and it's a new personal best, and, I mean, the whole team is cheering them on, hooting and hollering and chest bumping and, you know, all the works, all the testosterone and adrenaline, man. Too much. I clearly wasn't on the football team. Whew. But you see that. And it does, even when you're watching it, you do feel some sort of, like, brotherhood and team mentality. And that's, to a degree, hear me on this analogy. Clearly, we're not equipped to go, yeah, brother. But that's what we should be doing and striving for as Christians. That when we see somebody teach a Bible study, we're excited, we're encouraging them. When they see someone start a bread program or a Bible reading program that they've never done before, we're excited. Hey, that's great. Get in the Word. What'd you read today? Oh, I saw this. You know, just getting excited and going deeper together. That's what we need to be about, is encouraging and going deeper, because that will always bring unity. If we could all stand as we close. It was a few years ago, there were 9 miners in Pennsylvania who were trapped in a water-filled mine shaft, and they were 240 feet underground. According to this accident, whatever incident had taken place, they were in pitch black and water up to their waist. And they could kind of rotate who would be out of the water and who wouldn't be. And there's 3 days, pitch black, they couldn't hear from anybody, they didn't know if anybody knew where they were at. But 3 days, they were in this predicament, and finally they were rescued. And when they were pulling them up one by one, the rescue team was surprised and excited to see that of all 9 miners, every single one of them survived. CNN interviewed them afterward, and the miners said that we decided early on that we were all going to live together, or we were going to die together. It was a we mentality. The 55-degree water threatened to kill them slowly by hypothermia. So according to the CNN report, when one person would get cold, the other eight would huddle around that person and warm that person. And then when another person got cold, the favor was returned. Everybody had strong moments, minor Harry Mayhew told reporters after being released from the hospital. But any certain time when one guy would get down, then the rest would pull together. And then that guy would get back up. And then maybe someone else would feel a little weaker, but it was a team effort, and that's the only way we could survive. How encouraging to know that, you know, when someone's going through something, whether it's financial, whether it's physical, whether it's health, whatever life throws at you, to know that we have a place, we have a people that will support you. And we have to be, we will be, we already are. I'm not saying any of this because I feel there's disunity or anything. I'm not trying to step on toes at all because I think we are already there. But we must continue to be a church that is supporting and is sharing the load, sharing the burden, encouraging one another in Christ. That's the picture of the body of Christ. Helping each other, lifting each other up, sacrificing for someone else. If you've been blessed in this season of life, don't consider it just a blessing for you because God's trying to bless you. Open your eyes. See who needs. If it's a financial blessing, if God has just given you a couple extra bucks in your pocket, maybe he is doing it just to bless you, or maybe he's doing it so you could be a conduit that you could go on and bless somebody else. If you're in a time of need right now, the last thing you should do is curl up into a ball and hide. Just, well, nobody cares. This is my thing. This is my hurt. This is my financial problem. This is my whatever. Nobody needs to know. No, we are the body. We want to share that with you. We may not be able to give you money out of our pocket that day, but we can help, we can pray, we can do whatever we're able to do to lift you up because we are the body of Christ and we have unity here. We all have times of strength when we can help others. We all have times of trials when we need the help of others. But if we are in unity together and steadfast, I do believe that there's nothing that Satan can do to attack us. He would like nothing more than to just drive that wedge. For those that have chopped wood, I've not done a lot of it. I've done a little bit of it. But when it's a solid piece of wood, maybe Brother Al could attest a little bit more about chopping wood. But it's a solid piece of wood. It's very firm. It's hard to chop through. But as soon as you begin to drive a wedge into it, just put a wedge, it begins to split much easier, and it's broken apart much easier. But if we could remain solid and not allow any wedges of distraction or disunity to enter in, then I believe that we would be a strong, steadfast church that is positioned to see revival in this year. Amen. So as we close tonight, I want us just to all take a moment and let's just pray that God would bring us into a place of unity, that we, if we've been blessed, we would find a person to bless. If we need a blessing, we would get over ourselves, get over our shame and embarrassment, and ask for help, and we would support that as the body of Christ. Let's just begin to pray and receive this tonight. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you, Lord, that this is a church that is unified, that this is a church that is ready for the call that you've placed on our lives. God, help us to be sensitive to each other's needs. God, help us to be perfect as one, like you are with the Father, like you are as one God, as one Lord, as one faith and one baptism. God, help us, Jesus, to be perfected in that, in unity together with each other, and most importantly, in unity with you. God, we want to be focused upon you and what your calling is, this high calling, this high vocation that you've placed upon us. God, help us, Jesus, to pick this up. God, to be steadfast in this. I pray in the name of Jesus. God, I pray if somebody's in need tonight, I pray give them a boldness Lord, let them step out and let them let somebody know. And when that happens, God, let us love them. Let us pick them up, God. It is not your will that anybody would be struggling on their own. We are the body of Christ. We will bear one another's burdens. We will pick them up when there is needs. God, help us, Jesus, to be sensitive to each other, to be sensitive to the needs that they have. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me.
If you know it, would you sing it?
Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. To survive, I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Let's sing this one more time.
I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Amen. Amen. One more time, let's lift up our hands and let's thank Him for His presence tonight. We love you, Jesus. God, bring unity here. God, take us deeper. Lord, take us as a church to a place we've never been before. God, let us get rid of our individualistic mindset. Let everything be about the body of Christ. Let everything be about each and every one of us going deeper. Challenge us as individuals to get on board with whatever commitment it may be like. God, if we've not been committed to something in the church, in prayer, God, in our Bible reading, financially, God, whatever you're calling us to, help us to get a vision of that, to go to a place we've never been before. God, we want that. We need that. Help that to be our main desire in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please be in prayer for this week as we head into the Sunday service. I'm trying my hardest to have something, and I've been trying to kind of direct or allow God to direct, I should say. I had something else, and then as of tomorrow morning, I felt something else, and so trying to kind of go not my vision, but God's vision. I had something that I thought was neat, but I don't feel like that. I feel like it was my vision. So, Sister Joella, I need God's vision. We want God's vision for what He's going to do in this year. So be in prayer for that. Also, take time. Make sure you hug Sister Julie. Tell her goodbye for now. We'll see you soon. And also, say hi to Taryn and Aaron. If you can embarrass Taryn in any way, more than what I already have fun. She turns very red, matches her hair. But it's good to see everybody tonight. God bless and have a great week. In Jesus' name.